Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com.
Worst way.
Welcome to me just making my life complex.
Yeah.
Cool.
I always wanted one of those knob handles that certain buses have that you just have to hold that and
yeah,
it spins and itself.
Wow.
That's a nice touch.
That's nice. I like that. I've never had a car.
I've only had one car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had one car. Fuck a car, man.
I miss it, but I miss it in Florida. I don't miss it here. I never drove here.
I gave my car away, dog.
Me too. I gave it to my sister.
Gave it away to some place for like $400.
Sold your car.
They just junked it. Yeah,
Yeah. So I guess I did technically have, like, so I was given a car.
Uh-huh.
My grandma bought a new car in the year 2006, I think.
Mm.
So she gave me her 1993 Buick Century. Sick. All maroon interior.
Mm. Beautiful.
Fucking boat of a car. But I never got a driver's license, so it just sat in the driveway at my dad's house for a while. And then the drummer in my band needed a car. So I was like, all right, I got a car. I'll sell it to you for $500 and a TV. So he had a
TV. Did he have a TV that you liked? Or just you were joking? You just like,
no,
oh,
he had
a TV.
He was like, I got $500 and this TV.
Oh, okay.
And it was like a big, it was like a, it wasn't a flat screen, but it was like a big ass fucking
like it's
CRT.
Connected to the floor?
No. Okay. It wasn't a big screen, but it was
like a boxed.
Yeah, but it was like thing? probably like a 32 inch.
Okay. Okay.
Like a fucking heavy.
That's like standard now.
Yeah, exactly.
32
yeah.
is like.
Oh yeah.
You don't get nothing less than a 32.
No. And then you're like, what is it? A computer monitor?
Yeah.
Less than that, you're like, no.
Yeah.
But so I got the TV and the $500, and then a couple years later, he was like, I don't want this fucking car anymore. There's like a gas leak. I want to get an actual car. So I was like, all right, I'll give you $100 for the car. Because I was like, I want that car back.
Yeah,
I don't know why. Because in my head, I was like, I'm gonna get a driver's license. I'm gonna drive this car.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave him $100 for the car, and then I left Albany and I towed it back on the back of the U-Haul that I moved all my stuff back to Long Island with.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just sat in my dad's driveway again.
Jesus.
So then I finally junked it for $300, and I bought a bike with that.
Oh,
a bicycle?
A bicycle.
Oh, uh-huh.
That's good.
So then I made like $800. Well, I spent $100, so I made $700 off this and a TV. Off this car.
Oh, all right, that's a good. That's a weird, like a very white trash version of investments.
Yeah, okay, well,
like,
we don't have to
know,
put a
Warren Buffett. But I had my first car was my mom bought me. She actually bought two cars.
Okay.
And she took the engine from one
oh.
and had this Armenian mechanic named Grisha put the motor inside the other car. And it broke down in Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
and it just since then, like I was driving it from Pennsylvania to Florida, and like when it broke down in Kentucky, ever since then I couldn't drive it past 60. So like it would hit 60 and then it would just flutter out.
Uh-huh.
It was yeah.
So you had decided to just keep it at 55.
Yeah, man, I couldn't
time.
Hit any highways, yo.
Yeah, you had to take the street roads.
Ugh, it was terrible.
Very speed of you.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Two
cars into one. And she still flaunts it around like it was like, I bought you a car, Rufus.
I'm like, kind
of. Like, kind? Yeah, yeah. A little bit. She was like, I bought you a sandwich. Well, I bought two sandwiches. And I took all the ham. But I got you a cheese sandwich. Uh-huh. Isn't that good? You're like, it's not what I wanted. Like,
oh, whoa.
Oh, all of a sudden you get me.
I'm the mother that gives people what they want.
Yeah. That's my thing.
Yeah, yeah. I had a Acura RSX because my brother had he had the car and then for certain reasons was unable to maintain and keep the car. So it was given to me. So in my last year of high school, I think, or when I got out, I had a fucking sports car, basically. It's the best. It was my favorite thing ever, having that car. It was so sick. Going on like first dates when you're like, 19 and 20, and you're like, you pull up in a little fucking sports car, and you're like, hell yeah, what's up?
Yeah, like, hey,
how about you want to get in this car? And they go, yep.
Mine was a Prelude.
Ooh, Prelude.
Yeah, 1993, but it only goes 55 miles per hour. That is the lot of life,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you get a sports car, uh-huh. but it won't go.
Very much cruiser now. Yeah, it's like a very
yeah.
a Fast and the Furious kind of a car. Like, that's like
racer.
One of the most, yeah.
Yeah.
That and like, Integras, Civics, those are the most mm-hmm. like sought after or cheap
Dude,
cars to fix up.
All my friends in high school were like, into that shit. They like, I had a buddy who had straight up three Acura Integras and at the same time, and none of them ran well.
Oh yeah, yeah, none of them worked.
He was like, no, I fix it up. I'm gonna make this thing a street racer. And I was like, why don't you just get the door to open? Why do you have to get in and open my door for me?
Yeah, yeah. What if it just ran?
Yeah. It's like, no, I take parts from this one. And I was like, just get one that works.
Yeah.
And then you can get multiple. He's like, I got three cars. And I was like, yeah, well, it's the same thing where you're like, well.
Do you?
Yeah, you have three.
You have 12 wheels.
Yeah.
For sure.
You have three bodies.
Yeah.
For sure.
You have three places to sleep.
Yeah. This thing is up on blocks next to the driveway at your mom's house. Because you're taking up space in the driveway for cars that run.
Yeah. They're like, no, we
so
gotta go in and out.
Next to the driveway.
Yeah. In the grass, just killing the grass. Yeah. That's really fucking ruining it. Any chance of it coming back?
Nah. That's where the Integra goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the side yard for the Integra.
Yeah. That was my mom's first big immigrant purchase. Was she bought a brand new 4-door Integra.
Ooh.
Yeah. Everybody thought we sold drugs. But we just took on a bad loan, I think. Which is worse.
Yeah, that's so much worse. Because you don't get any respect or power for having a bad loan.
No.
Were you born here?
No.
Okay. You were born in Azerbaijan?
Yes.
A nice Azerbaijani.
Yeah.
I only know because my boss is from there.
Wait, your boss is from there?
My boss, my instructor.
Let me meet this person.
Okay, you can. He'll.
You know what?
Very aggressive person.
For some weird reason, my people have this weird obsession with karate, and like, because my dad was really big into karate as well.
Weird. They have a great wrestling a wrestling heritage.
Yeah. Armenian, Azerbaijan. Yeah, they definitely do. And my dad, growing up, he would like, I'd watch all the movies with people's necks being snapped and. He would do that little Tai Chi thing where mm-hmm. he'd move his hands really calmly and then push into my chest really hard mm-hmm. and be like, see, you forced the hit or something.
Yeah. Like, it's your fault.
Like, it was your energy that forced
the hit. No, I think that I'm a child. You're an adult man. God, I hate all that fucking woo-woo nonsense in martial arts. It's so fucking annoying.
That was like my uncle. He's huge. My uncle's like 6'8", fucking big. He was big enough. He got a football scholarship to Syracuse.
Wow.
That's how big he is. And he would do like, I don't remember. He trained some martial arts, but they're like, that it was like some of it seemed real, you know, like throws and hits. And then some of it was like weird pressure point shit.
Yeah, yeah, that always comes along.
Yeah, so he would like always do this thing where he would like curl my hand under and like press on him. He's like, see, that's why I learned that. I was like, yeah, you're fucking 350 pounds. That's why it hurts. I'm 9.
So Diego, funny. You fuck with pressure points?
No, I don't fuck with
just pinch a guy and he fucking falls over. Yeah.
There's a really good, there's this book called The Fighter's Heart. And this journalist just followed around a bunch of fighters for a long time. And he met this one fighter who got good by just going to seminars. Like, just, he didn't have a coach. He just went to a bunch of seminars. And the guy was telling a story about how he went to a seminar of a guy doing, like, you know, pressure point stuff. And, like, he's demonstrating, getting hit in this specific spot of the neck. And he had the guy who was demonstrating on stand still. And he just fucking, like, socked him in the neck. And the guy collapsed. And he goes, see that spot? And he goes, yeah, let me sock you in the side of the head. And just see if you don't collapse, you fucking moron. All that shit is just so fucking stupid. It's just insane.
It's so much fun to watch those, like fake martial arts videos.
Oh, I love them. I can't get enough of them. I love those, and I love when fake black belts get exposed. Because there's people that lie about having a jiu-jitsu black belt, which is one of the dumbest things to lie about. Obvious to tell. Like, there's no... Like, if you told me you had, like, an acting degree, I'd be like, oh, okay.
So is this, like... Are these videos, like, kind of, like, stolen valor, but karate?
100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This 100%. Is amazing. I'm so into these, man. 100%. I'm into being fake, yo. Yeah. Do they get, like, mall discounts if you're a black belt in jiu-jitsu?
There's two that stick out of the in terms of, like, the best call-outs. One... This, I think he was a purple belt, found out about this guy teaching jiu-jitsu in
his
town.
Pearl belt?
Purple belt.
Oh, purple. Which I thought you said a pearl. Like, that's like above black.
Sorry, I don't know.
I got a diamond belt.
You're both birthstone.
Yeah.
He found out this guy was teaching jiu-jitsu, and like he was saying he's a black belt under so-and-so, and he went to his gym, and like you can tell, like jiu-jitsu, like you can tell... Right away, with how someone acts and like how they carry themselves and like what they look like. Even his neck was too thin; none of it made sense. Like you get a certain
neck was.
It's your neck gets bigger because it's jiu-jitsu, and like he's like, "All right, roll with me," like, just spar with me. And he's like, no, I don't spar with my students, which right away is a huge red flag. Jiu-jitsu is like, you have to spar with your students every day. Like, it's a whole a huge part of it. And he's like, okay, he's not sparring with the students. He's like, where'd you get your black belt from? And he, like, tells his story. He's like, that's not true. And he's, like, calling him out in front of his students. And he's like, look, I know this is, like, rude of me to a degree, but, like, you guys are throwing your money away getting this guy money to teach you something he doesn't know. And, like, you, there's, like, videos of him, like, showing things online, and they're just so fucking bad and, like, wrong. It's like, that's the infuriating thing, that you're taking money from someone and telling them now you can defend your family and yourself, which is that's the shitty part. But there's another one where this guy has a black belt, and he goes to a very popular school, a very good school, where a guy who the black belt instructor, the guy who actually is a black belt, like, screams at him. And he's like, I've broken my leg doing this. I've almost died doing jiu-jitsu, and you just fucking buy a black belt? And the guy's laying on the floor, like, as...
Was it a prank?
No, not at all.
Oh, like, it wasn't a prank where the guy was like, I bought a black belt and went to a school, and...
No. I'm a black belt.
Oh,
but it's also like, it's like, you feel bad because, like, okay, you obviously aren't all there to think that you can pull this off.
Which is a thing that I love seeing when you catch people in those lies, like the Stolen Valor videos, because they just keep going with, they get caught, but they just keep going.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if I got caught, you know, throwing on an army uniform and I got caught, I just be like, yeah, you right, man. It's like, yeah, you
got me. They're socially inept. Well, I mean, we saw a video of the bratty teen getting thrown off a boat for being like an asshole or being spoiled. And we watched, I'm like, oh, I think they should change the name to Autistic Child Gets Thrown Off a Boat.
by a man who doesn't understand.
Yeah, it's like, that's what it is. There's a learning deficiency or a mental.
But I think there's something. I think that was different than being a pathological liar.
Absolutely.
I think it was a kid who obviously had some kind of social disability, like freaking out because he was uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this happen before, like, just, and it's a lot different than a kid being a bratty spoiled teen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
it's like
course.
A kid, it's like a sensory thing.
Yeah, exactly.
was off, and he was uncomfortable and he lashed out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was different than
a guy making a business than being
like
lies.
Yeah, or being like a kid on those like super sweet 16 things and getting the wrong color car and freaking out. He was like, I don't want this.
Yeah,
and he was like a thing where he didn't have the capability to explain himself more.
Yeah,
so he just got angry immediately.
Yeah, he overheated and didn't know what to do. Sorry.
But I just love, there's the videos of like a guy, there's like a video of a guy who like breaks bricks, and it was like a thing where they're just holding the brick and it just like broke in the guy's, in whoever, like the newscaster's hand, and it just starts laughing at him immediately.
Yeah.
It's so fucking funny.
Yeah, he's breaking the bricks, and the reporter to like emphasize how impressive it is, he's like, these are real bricks, and he like just leans on it a little bit, breaks, and goes, I'm better than I thought I was. I love that shit. That shit's so funny to me.
It's great.
How old were you when you came here?
Five?
Okay. So you have memories of Aizu Ajani.
I do have memories. That's great. Yeah.
Do you go back?
No. It's a weird thing where my name is Azerbaijani, so I can't go back to Armenia where my family, like most of my family is, because they're still kind of not over the war.
Yeah, I get that.
And then Azerbaijan, like, I don't have that much family there. I mean, I would go and visit, but they're a little bit like, they're kind of dickheads. They banned Bourdain when he went to Armenia,
mm-hmm.
just for going to Armenia and like speaking with the people and like talking about the culture, which like Armenia has a really rich culture, but just because he went there, Azerbaijan was just like, nope,
you're
banned. They're like that. They're really,
I get that. Yeah.
They were on the Atletico Madrid jerseys, like my country's flag. And it's like, this thing was like the land of fire, and they were marketing themselves. And I was like, I want to buy one. You know, it's my country. Yeah. They're on a jersey. And then I look around for one like a year later. I'm like, what happened? They're like, oh, you guys had rights violations, and we took you off the jerseys.
Makes sense. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, because there's – oh, no, that guy, he's from Turkey. That guy, Enes Kanter, who's on the Knicks. He is like vocally spoke out against the Turkish government.
Oh.
And is like, it's like if he goes to Turkey, he will be murdered.
Of course.
And so his dad is in prison right now.
Yeah, and
right?
His dad's in prison. His passport got taken away. He almost got stuck in England. And it was like this whole fucking thing just because he was like speaking out against the government.
I think being here, or at least being born here, even as bad as things have gotten, it's that thing where like, oh yeah, a lot of governments are not following any kind of rules.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
They'll do whatever the fuck they want, and they'll keep you wherever they want, and you'll disappear if you don't, you say the wrong things.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
shit's fucking...
It's crazy how it's, like, it's kind of taken for granted where it's, like, there's countries where if we were comedians there
mm-hmm.
and they found out we were speaking ill of the government, we would just immediately get killed.
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah, when they see some of these bits that I'm doing, I'm definitely getting murdered.
You think so? You think you're gonna get blacklisted from Azerbaijan?
Yeah,
it's too sandy. Man. Over there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
You just have your you pull off a shirt and it just says I Heart Armenia.
Exactly.
On your shirt.
Nah, I don't. I'm just goofy, man. I try to stay out of the politics, yo.
Yeah. Where because you mentioned Florida, and I've seen, you know, we've done comedy together.
St. Petersburg.
Okay, that's a different world.
Very interesting city. Spring Breakers, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That movie. Yeah. Harmony Korine went into my city and went to the most dangerous parts, all the parks. So mm-hmm. all the parks are dangerous. Jordan Park. So, like, he went there.
Good thing he's so intimidating.
drove in a car, and would just... record with a cell phone out the window in like the most dangerous parts of St. Wow. Pete.
He's a maniac. I really like all of his movies, yeah. like a lot. But he's like, he's the kind of guy where it's like, yeah, he'll just go and do it.
And James Franco shadowed a guy that I grew up with and a guy that I was in a Christian rap group with. And I remember like the kid's name David, he was like, he hit me up on like Facebook and he was like, yo, we was hanging out with James Franco yesterday, man. He's so cool. He said he would help us out with da da da. And I'm just like, y'all are case studies right now. Yeah, yeah. Like, I hate to tell y'all.
Yeah, in a couple, you know, about a year, you're not going to be too happy with this but, movie, I don't yeah. think.
Yeah, I mean, one of them, Russ, which is the main one, his name is Danger Russ.
Yeah.
He was in the movie and like James Franco did a video for him. But again, it's like that whole like, it's like that whole Vice mentality and mm-hmm. that whole like hipster mentality where it's like we like the hood and we like trap music because it's quirky mm-hmm. and it's ironic. Yeah. I love Gucci, man, because I'm not supposed to. Yeah, so it's kind of like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that weird thing where it's like because I kind of am like, it's not that I don't believe in it, but I think people throw the term cultural appropriation around too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a thing where it's a difference between appreciating something and, like, being part of a culture and then also – but, like, just, like, going in and just, like, straight profiting from a place and not giving back at all, I think is a lot different.
There's appreciation and then there is you taking something to try to prove a point to somebody. It's really some black belt. Like fake mm-hmm. black.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's basically like just trying to wear a uniform or do something that you're not really about. You don't know how to break the bricks, yo.
Yeah, you
know
yeah. I mean? You didn't put the work in. You didn't suffer. Yeah. Whatever it is.
In karate, you're breaking bricks. And, you know, rap music, you're moving bricks. Yeah, it all comes down to bricks.
It's something with a brick, man. Yeah. Basketball. All
right. You brick a shot in basketball.
Yeah. It's all about bricks, baby.
In Italian culture, you're late. Bricks,
masonry is huge in the
Italian
or
you
culture.
Tie bricks to somebody's feet. It's all about bricks.
I mean, life, that's the name of the episode.
If you think about it, life is a brick because it hurts when it hits you. You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Think about that.
You're Italian?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yo, man, I've been getting really into mob stuff.
Yeah?
I've been obsessed.
Really?
I've been listening to podcasts, rewatching. I would join. I would definitely. Join the mafia.
There isn't like a.
I'd buy into the code.
Yeah.
I think my uncle's in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I think my uncle is like.
What's his full name?
Maybe. Sasha. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, him and his friends would always be like hanging out in the back of our church, just drinking and you know. I saw him sell drugs out of an ice cream truck once.
Yeah, Lord, you know.
The funny thing is I was listening to this podcast about the mafia in Rhode Island.
Oh,
they had a
mafia
in Rhode
Crime
Island.
Town.
Yeah, the Crime Town one. And then there was an episode where a guy got killed and they went to prison for it. But the guy got killed. He was an Armenian guy trying to join up with the mafia, but he was really like Gotti and like really like just always talking about hits that they would do. Then he got killed, and I was like, makes total sense. My people would brag about stuff like that. Like, it's the very Armenian thing to do.
Like, yeah. The idea of an Italian guy telling an Armenian guy, like, hey, you're wearing too many chains right now. Sir, tone it down with the tracksuits.
A bit much.
Who's wearing all that cologne in here?
Yeah, just that summarizes my culture. We're way more Italian than
I think. Yeah. The thing is that for years I tried to like not. I would like eschew the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't watch mob movies. I didn't ever want to talk about being Italian. And then I hit like 28 or so, and I was just like, that's just kind of who I am.
Yeah,
it's just who I am. I gotta embrace it.
I like the code, man. I love the code. I love the fact that when they talk about killing people, they're like, yeah, but these guys deserved it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's my favorite thing. Yeah. My favorite
part, like Dexter. Like,
we didn't kill you, you know, so calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the code, not eating pussy. That's my favorite part of the code.
It's gay to eat pussy. Yeah.
You got a sandwich all in there. You're like, killing is cool. I like doing illegal stuff, but not eating pussy is kind of my thing. That's my role in the gang.
Yeah. Why I'm a made man because I don't eat pussy.
Why has not eating pussy always been like such a tough guy thing? Because it's
crazy.
In Jamaican culture, it's like that.
Haitian culture,
It's because you are subservient to the woman at that point.
Oh, yeah.
So you always have to be the alpha male, masculine. You can never...
Make a woman come.
The woman.
You never make a woman come.
You make a woman come with your penis. Because that's tough.
You know who really opened the floodgates to eating pussy was Lil Wayne.
He would talk about it.
A lot of dudes in rap, you know, wouldn't really talk about it, and then he just was like, you know, I'll suck it. Like, I mean, he was talking about pussy like sucking dicks. You know what I mean? But he really opened up the gates, and I thank him for it.
Yeah,
and
cheers to Lil Wayne on that.
Yeah, now a lot of guys are really into it.
You know? I remember I grew up in South Florida. I went to all black schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like eating pussy was gay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, eating pussy was gay and jerking off was gay. And I'm like, I want to be the gayest.
Jerking
off was gay.
Because you're touching a dick.
Okay.
It's gay to touch a dick even if it's yours.
I remember I'm going to be the gayest motherfucker.
Yeah, I got gay 3, 4, 5 times this morning before school.
Yeah, man. I went to kind of like the same deal. But the dynamic at my school was a little bit different. At least in high school, we had like this thing called the CAP program, which had a lot of money. And so you had like all these smart students going to the magnet program. And then all of us would just be in the regular high school. But mm-hmm. Both sides got along, man.
Okay.
Both sides got along. Yeah, it was beautiful.
I had a thing where, because I would always watch like when I was a kid, even now, I still like high school movies and like 80s kind of teen movies. And I think because growing up in growing up in a poorer neighborhood and growing up with like a lot of black and Hispanic kids at my school, there wasn't like the kind of jock cheerleader archetype thing that didn't exist in my school at all. Like there was kids that played there were sports teams, but the kids that played football were like. I think the thing was like, well, the kids that play football are cool, but there are kids that are in gangs here.
Yeah.
And that's cooler.
That's way tougher.
Yeah. That's tougher. So it's like, you're the quarterback, but do you have a gun?
Mm-hmm. We had people that we had a ton of people recently go to the NFL for my school. The dude, Shaquem Griffin, doesn't have an arm.
He
doesn't have 100% of an arm.
You know what I mean? He went to our high school, but all of the football players, they wanted to be like the drug dealers, really, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Like they looked up to the drug dealers for some reason.
Yeah, I think that's what it always was. It's like those guys had money and they were cool and they had women and
they had the prettiest women, man. There was this girl that I still to this day I think about. Her name was Perrier and she went out.
What a Florida name.
Her
girl.
Name was Perrier.
Oh my God. That's a joke from Superstar. The girl, the cheerleader's name is Evian. It's like, it's just nice. Name a girl after a nice water.
Yeah.
Exactly, man. She was so beautiful, and she went out with a kid that I grew up with who was really like, had a good childhood. His mom always took care of him. He always had like the best stuff. He played football really well. But then I guess. If anything, I was like the little badass kid on my block, and I would like be smoking weed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Quantarius, whose nickname later on was known as, he was known as Bam. He went out with Perrier, and it was, she was just so beautiful, man. And she still is. She still is really hot. She has like a little, you know, she got a little small business. Oh, she sells Perrier nutrition shakes. You know what I mean? She does hair.
Detox tea and shit.
Yeah.
You got some of your Instagram.
Oh, she does. Is she like a tummy tea person?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All the bad chicks got the tummy tea. Yeah.
That's right there.
So you might date yourself somebody on the Devil Rays, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's in the triple A's of the baseball league. Yeah. That's fine. Can we talk a little bit about the rap thing? Because I think that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Unless you're sick of it. So you were part of a Christian rap group?
I was. I started off doing Christian. So I was a pretty like little bad kid growing up. My mom had like a tough time taking care of me. So she sent me off to Florida to go live with my dad. And my first year in Florida, I just wouldn't go to class, was smoking weed. Was hanging out with this little badass white kid named Jake. And like, I think...
Was it Jake Head?
No. No, it was not Jake Head. But they did have the same facial structure, which is just like Florida, dirty and white.
Yeah.
Was it the kind of kid that never wore a shirt?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Non-shirt wear.
Yeah.
Freckled back. You know what I mean? He had the back of a 30-year-old at age 12.
Yes, sun damaged.
Yes.
He had that wrinkly skin already.
Yes. But to tell you the truth, hanging out with a hood white kid is way worse than just hanging out with hood kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he was just... So he had to go to church one day because he committed arson.
As one is wont to do.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and so I went to church with him, and this church is like very like hip and groovy, and the one of the youth ministers, who I still know to this day, he was a rapper, and you know, handed me his CD, and I just kept coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of kept me in good standing with school.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the structure of like my dad didn't really pay too much attention to me at the time, so like it was the thing that kept me going.
Yeah.
I remember getting straight A's like 11 times in a row, and handing it off to my dad and him being like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? So I needed Jesus, yo.
Yeah,
those type of situations, you need Jesus. You need to feel like God is watching you at all times.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So yeah, that's how I started rapping. And then I kept rapping, and we did secular rap for the devil as well.
Huh.
And then moved to New York. We were doing stuff at Warner Brothers with me and my friends.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that all went to shit. It usually does.
Why?
Unsavory people, man. It's always unsavory people. We already, like, the people that I hung... So I knew them from Tallahassee. And, I mean, still my friends to this day. But it was never going to work out. The chemistry was not there between any of us. I remember, like, the last venture that we went into was... We knew a younger kid whose father was a tycoon.
Okay.
And we said that we would help him make music and do videos.
Uh-huh.
And his mom bought like a space for us on 46 and 5th to open up like a creative studio.
Whoa.
The ASAP kids were coming through there. But then she was like, after a year, you guys are going to have to pay the bills for the studio. And I was like, nah, I'm good. And I remember like that's when I started doing comedy. I was like, I'm good, yo.
Yeah.
No, there's no way I trust any of this to be making any profit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At all. But yeah. That's that.
I feel like did we start around the same time? Like 2014, 2015?
I started December of 2014.
Oh, we started the exact same time.
Yeah.
December 7th, 2014 was my first time.
Really?
Night. Yeah.
You were so further ahead than I was. For some weird reason.
I don't think so, but yeah. All right.
I just did not know how to... I remember when I first started comedy, I was like, I don't really want to tell jokes, you know? Uh-huh. I just want to tell stories.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And,
that's a very normal instinct, I think, early on, because jokes are so fucking hard to write. You're just like, I know how to talk.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think we all have it, where we're like, we're funny with friends.
Yep.
Because we don't... We just tell, you know, we know how to be silly, we know how to emphasize, but it's like to learn the schematics and the blueprint of a joke takes so much longer.
And then I remember it was kind of like maybe like a year. Yeah, it was like I was like a year in and I got past at New York Comedy Club. I wasn't horrible, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's the thing, I wasn't horrible. But I will say you probably had more balls to start off in Williamsburg because I did start off in like Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And I like my first two mics were like Pine Box and... I couldn't do it, yo. Mm-hmm. It was like, these motherfuckers are judged. The judgment levels are high in that scene, yo. Yeah. And I still hate all of you to this day. No matter how many shows you, like, fuck you. I hate all of you. But yeah, I just did my time in, like, in the dark in Manhattan for a little bit, and then I crossed the bridge, you know what I mean? But yeah, you had, I feel like you're just there. You're just doing it. You're fearless, yo.
Ah, well, thank you. It's very nice. I think I just, like, because of fighting, it's like, you just have to fucking take your licks, you know? Like, if you're going to do it, do it. Yeah. Don't fuck around. But, I mean, Pinebox, I mean, we talked about before, Pinebox is the second mic I ever did, and I bombed so bad, I didn't come back for, like, a couple months.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It was brutal. I remember I spent a month just playing my career on 2K after, like, and then I finally got my way back into comedy. But, yeah, like, It was tough, but I think, you know, you figure stuff out.
I've never taken a break.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
I don't think I've ever... That was, like, the biggest break I ever took, and it was, like, my first 2 months in.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I didn't really have, like, what is, like, that thing in you where it's like, I gotta get these two mics in. I didn't have that built in within me until a little bit later. Yeah. And then I did the worst mics ever.
Which one? I just remember seeing you... The times I'd see you the most consistently would be the alligator mic.
Yeah.
I feel like I see you there.
I would do, I was doing McSwiggins.
Oh, those are fucking brutal. Things,
my main, so I would like go to McSwiggins, go to New York Comedy Club, then go to like No Fun Bar. I would do like 5 mics on Monday, yo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was brutal. It was brutal, but fuck it. I had, you know, like, that's what I wanted to say. I had that same mature outlook on it, like you did, mm-hmm. which was like, you had a history in fighting. Mm-hmm. I had a history in music, and I just know you gotta suck for some time. And then I think you get to the point where you can, it's like a memory reflex type of thing where you kind of think a couple of steps ahead.
Yeah.
And you just see it in a little bit more slow motion. You know?
For sure. It just takes a while to get there. No. It just hurts to get there.
There's a time I stopped writing raps. Like, I remember when I really got serious and I got management, mm-hmm. they wanted me to put out an album, and I just stopped writing. Like, and I could just record, off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And I think you get to a point like that, you meet, like, older comics who are, like, 15 years in, and they're just like, yeah, you know, I go up there and I, you know, I just talk it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
Wow,
yeah,
wasn't nice.
Yeah. Damn fucking
way. I mean, anytime I hear that, unless you're a headliner, I just feel like you waste a lot of people's time.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing, like, you're being given 45 minutes to an hour consistently, it's like, oh, you're just... have a bad work ethic.
Yeah,
it's just I don't respect it as much as people think. Assume I think I would respect it. I don't.
I think I there's a lot of people will complain about how hard open mics are, and I do think it's hard. Like, I think it's difficult, but I think it's in New York City. But mm-hmm. I think it's because where I started was so bad, because I didn't start here, and like starting on Long Island, open mics there were so fucking bad. They're so bad. They're so brutal that like everything here is like, oh yeah. Because like, in my head, I'm like, I could be back there.
So when I first started, my two like better friends in comedy and like people I looked up to were from Long Island. It was, you remember Saeed Masroor?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Saeed.
Dude,
I love Saeed.
Dude, I started.
He's so funny.
I started with Saeed. He's fucking great. He stopped doing it.
It pains my heart that he doesn't do it anymore.
Dude, he has a joke that he started doing when we were on Long Island, and I still think about it.
Dude. Was it the praying joke?
No, he had a joke about growing up Muslim, and the first time he went and ordered a hamburger somewhere, and they asked him how how do you want it cooked? They're like, well done. He's like, yeah, like good.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't understand. He's like, yeah, like really well. Like, as good as you can.
Yeah.
As
much effort as you got.
Yeah.
I remember he did this thing where he was talking about, like, prayer, and how, like, there was, like, basically, like, a Muslim kind of, like, a pastor, and he was, like, making Islam into like kind of like rap, and he's like, face down, ass up, that's the way we like to pray. That shit is amazing.
He would we were really tight for a while. He would come, because I didn't have a car when I mm-hmm. lived on Long Island. He would come and pick me up and drive me to open mics all the
time. And that other Arab dude, right?
Who's
Mo Diggs.
Yeah.
I love Mo Diggs.
Yeah, the two of them, those were like two of the guys that like on Long Island I gravitated towards, because it was like they were the guys that were like they were younger, mm-hmm. and they like listened to the same comics that I did, so right. they yeah. had like we were all kind of doing comedy the same style. Mm-hmm. We weren't doing like old fucking
Rodney Dangerfield impressions
and shit like that, or talking about how our wife sucked. We were like trying to talk about stuff that we thought was funny. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would chill with them like a lot.
Nice.
Yeah, I remember the first couple of months. Like I said, I was kind of hiding in Manhattan for a yeah. little bit. And this is no, like, I don't believe in the whole Brooklyn-Manhattan thing, but I just remember, like, being a little self-conscious and asking Syed. I was like, so, like, why do you always go to the Brooklyn mics? And he's like, because the comics here are just way better. Yeah. I was like, all right, cool.
I got it.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because him and I, we would go, when we were still living on Long Island, we would go in together. We'd go to the mics at, like, Eastville.
Ooh.
And shit like that, just like a real slog.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one of the first, because he's like one of the guys that I first, because I think he started maybe a little bit after me. I started in like 2011.
Okay.
I think he maybe started like 2012, 2013. I think probably like 2012. Because uh-huh. I would see him at this mic. There was a mic hosted by Adam Suzanne.
Oh, Adam.
Who's still around.
Yeah.
He hosted a mic at a Wednesday night at this place called Wild Child, which was half bar, half like coffee shop cafe, and half tattoo studio, which was nuts. But we would just always hang out at that mic. And I remember him and a couple other dudes, this dude James and this dude Ray, who were like also like around like a little bit younger, uh-huh. like my age or mm-hmm. so. And that was rare to have someone like my age at an open mic on Long Island,
and
just immediately gravitating towards them and being like, oh yeah, these guys are fucking cool and it's fun. And so like Saeed is like the first guy I knew, one of the first guys I knew in comedy, and then that has quit. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh man, it fucking sucks.
I know, but he's gonna be like a doctor or a brain surgeon something, you know what I mean? And he started dating a Russian woman. I knew that's when I knew it was gonna be over, man. Yeah. They got too many standards, you know? Yeah, like, they need income coming in.
You can't fuck around
they
with
need
this
the income
hobby.
Coming in, you know.
Well, I hope he listens to this. Yeah. I mean, call me a purist, but I feel like any tattoo shop that shares the business with something else is not going to be very good.
No, the thing is, the tattoo shop wasn't that bad.
That's crazy.
Speaking of, the first time, all right, so I was like a year in, and I remember my girlfriend was getting a tattoo mm-hmm. at Smith Street.
Oh, okay.
And her being like, oh, yeah, my boyfriend does comedy. And Bert was like, oh, yeah, you know, you made me tell a joke. And
I love fucking Bert's
impression. And then I did it. And then he was like, you know what, Diego? And I was a year in. Uh-huh. I was, again, big into, like, I'm going to be at this comedy club. Uh-huh. Fuck those Brooklyn people. No, I didn't. My whole attitude wasn't like that. But it was like, I was very hurt. Yeah, I was like a little chihuahua, you know what I mean? I was like, yeah, I don't really like him now. You know, it was just projecting, man. Sure, it was projecting. I let Pinebox hurt me. Uh-huh. Still to this day, there are some comedians, which I think is hilarious. There are comedians that I know that are like, man, fuck Pinebox. Every time I go there, you know, everybody wants to judge me. Uh-huh. And I'm like, just do your jokes, man.
Yeah, just be funny.
Yeah, just do your jokes, because they're like, I want to go up there and I want to prove something mm-hmm. to them. You know, so they'll just be like, I kind of like Trump. It's like, then what are you doing? This isn't your act.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're dumbing down your skill to prove something that they don't
to a room of people.
At an open mic.
At an open mic.
It's like, it's an open, we're here for.
I mean, Pinebox.
So clicky, bro. Yeah. Just clicky.
The Pinebox Wednesday mic was my favorite mic to go to once I was stopped being so scared of it.
Yeah.
I thought it was the best mic in terms of like really testing out a joke, because mm-hmm. people were paying attention usually. And it's like, when I started hosting it, my whole goal was to make it like, you pay attention at this mic.
Mm-hmm.
This is the mic you fucking pay attention. You don't look at your phone as much. We really give each other the most attention possible. And it's like, I was hoping, well, I hope still that it was that for other people. Mm-hmm. And that's what I enjoyed about going to it. It was like, this is when we're all, we bring the whatever we worked on this week, like the thing we're most proud of the week, this is where we show it. Wednesday mic. Yeah. That's how I treated it, and that's how I wanted people to treat it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really try to do my best to not let it be as clicky as it probably was, but it's hard.
Yeah.
You can only do so much as the host of an open mic.
I know.
It is what it is, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot of people, you know, they hurt, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Bert's so funny. It's so crazy how
like so funny you told Bert. Did Bert told you like worked for him or he just asked?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was like, yeah, he worked for me. I was like, I mean, he's cool, he's all right.
Nah, he's like, he's
all right. He's like, yeah, nice,
fine. He had good tattoos. But that doesn't make the man.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Bert's great.
He's getting a lot of love right now.
He's getting
now,
a lot of love right now because
at Jonah Hill.
So yeah. So here's the funny thing. Here's the funny thing is that so I saw the photo of Jonah Hill after he got the tattoo, and then I copied the photo because we have the same tattoo in the same spot.
Okay, it's the cowboy. Yeah. Oh, beautiful.
We have it in the same spot, so I had the same T-shirt and I just made a picture. It was very funny to me. Mike took the picture. Yeah. Thank you so much, Mike. And I'm like, that's funny. We have the same tattoo in the same spot. Come to find out, not only do we have the same tattoo in the same spot, we got it done at the same shop and in the same chair. Because even though my tattoo is not from Bert, uh-huh. It's from Jeff Whitehead. When Whitehead would work at Smith Street, he would use Bert's station. And Jonah Hill on fucking Kimmel was like,
How you feel about that?
It's fine. I hope Bert now charges people more, even more than whatever he's charging. I think it deserves
success. I got this skull for, you know, Christmas, and it was a lot.
Yeah. He's worked so fucking hard. He's such a fucking maniac in terms of always pushing the envelope and like thinking outside the box. And once everyone starts fucking biting his style, he changes it and mm-hmm. takes on a new thing. And like, I've learned so much as an artist and anything I've done from him, just working mm-hmm. for him for the little time I did, I learned so much. I respect him like a ton. And I really hope that like, even though he's already a fucking celebrity in the tattoo world, that like, cool, get some fucking more fans. He deserves it. He's amazing.
Yeah.
It's
not like he didn't earn it.
Exactly. He's the best. In my opinion, he's the best tattooer in the country.
I like Tooth Taker too.
Tooth Taker?
I love Tooth Taker.
I don't know who that is.
Isaiah Tooth Taker is okay. The shit, yo.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. I see. It's like in the same world. It's like really bold traditional shit.
It's a little bit more occultic though.
Okay.
Really
yeah.
Well, last time I was hanging out with Bert, we were hanging out. We're just hanging in the back, and he was like redrawing something, and I'm like, I look like he took off something of a drawing, mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I don't redraw, I de-draw, and I'm like, that's joke writing 101. Like that's like, my favorite lesson.
Like decluttering.
Yeah,
everything.
Get rid of what's useless. Yep. I don't redraw, I de-draw, and I'm like, you're the fucking man.
Yeah.
And he's also like so fucking silly and so funny, and like people. I mean, I was intimidated and scared of him because he's huge.
Yeah.
And like you think he'd be an asshole, but like he's like the kindest fucking dude.
That's how the guy Jazz who did all my tattoos prior to that, he's the same way. Huge, loves to eat,
mm-hmm.
but his hand is a lot heavier than Bert's. Oh,
oh
yeah,
my
God,
surprisingly light. Bert is.
Bert is very gentle, very kind when it comes to tattooing.
Follow Bert Crack on Instagram.
Yeah.
Get him more followers. Don't follow us. No. He needs more followers.
No, he's a fucking man. I'm honored.
He has a stinky dog too. That dog's stinky.
Dog stinks, yeah. Is it Bushwick?
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful dog, but it does stink.
Smells bad.
It gives off this odor, and he's like, I try to clean it all mm-hmm. the time. He's like, it just, you know, it has a dog odor to it.
Yeah.
He's a dog.
Dude, there was an open mic on Long Island. Oh yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Little Smith Street tattoo.
The little anchor.
But there was an open mic on Long Island at this place called the Sunset Grill. So it's already not great. It's already not going. And there was a liquor store next door. And after the guy would close down the liquor store, he would come next door and just drink at the bar. Like, he owned a liquor store, and then he would come to this bar and hang out at the bar. Hmm. And he had a dog, and it was like a fucking mastiff. It was huge.
Wow.
Smelled so fucking bad. And would just come into the room where the open mic was and just, like, lay down on the floor in the middle of the room. And you're just like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Right.
I'm, like, wasting my fucking life. I, like, spent money to take the train here. And then I have to go back home and ride my bike home after that. Ooh. So I could fucking tell jokes for 7 minutes, which is so long.
For an open mic?
At an open mic.
Oh, my God.
Everyone got 7 minutes.
That's so unnecessary.
Every person.
There's a spot that I still go to. Damn, what is it? I haven't been there in a long... I wasn't there for a long time, and I recently went. What's Freddie Sheffield hosted?
Oh, the five spot?
Yeah, the five spot. You get like 10 minutes, yo.
So you do a set. You get
basically,
a set. Yeah,
basically.
Wow. I did, when I visited my brother in Colorado almost 2 years ago, I tried to get on a show somewhere, but I didn't know anyone at mm-hmm. that time, really. I was like, does anybody know anyone?
Yeah.
And I found that there was like a mixed open mic
Black and white.
Women and men. And I go and like everyone is doing poetry or freestyling or what's the other thing people do? Spoken word and shit.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, can I go up? And they're like, yeah, go ahead. And I went up and I'm like, how much time? And they're like, just do it. And I'm like, okay. So I just started doing my set and I'm doing very well for the, because no one's heard a joke. So they're like really psyched. And I'm like, what I would say like halfway through my normal set time, like what I would expect to start like wrapping it up almost. And I'm like, so, like I motioned to the guy. I'm like, do you want me to keep going? Or like, do you want me to stop? He goes, no, more. Like keep going. And I did like 14 or 15 minutes. But like, it's to the point where I wasn't good enough to be able to like tell the jokes and still look like know the inventory of what I've told and like what I haven't told and what's out of my set. And just like, well, this is better than a show. Thank you so much.
Yeah. There was a spot that I would go to with Saeed all the time. And Mo and all those guys. It was in Stony Brook where the college is, mm-hmm. where one of the colleges is on Long Island. And it was a spoken word poetry open mic. But after a while, they're like, okay, comedy too. And I remember and it was fucking crazy. Because they had like a featured performer who would do like 20 minutes in the middle of the show.
Huh.
So yeah, so it was like a first half and a second half, and in the middle there was someone that did 20. And I remember that was the last mic I did on Long Island before I moved. And I had a fucking full meltdown because everyone was just like talking over me and like being rude. And I was just like, I'm moving to New York City. Fuck all of you people. I hope this island fucking floats off into the Atlantic. Just like at a full fuck. It was so. But yeah, there was just like there was a woman there who would just only do poetry about smoking cigarettes.
Oh, kind of beautiful though.
Yeah, I used to like that. Oh, sorry.
Oh no, it was just like a lot of.
I heard Mac DeMarco took a lot from her.
I used to go to Pete's Candy Store Mix Mic on Sundays, and I remember the kid before me did spoken word, and then I was next and bombed, and then ended my set by going, yes, this was spoken word.
Maybe like a year or so ago, it was when Allie was in town, mm-hmm. like one of the first times. I remember someone being like, oh, there's
Mikofsky?
Yeah, Allie Mikofsky.
Yeah, it's the homie.
Yeah, she's fucking great. She's
big ups.
But somebody was like, oh, we're doing this mic over here, blah, blah, blah. And it was like pretty close to my apartment. I was like, I'll go there. And then I found out it was like a mixed mic, and I was so mad. I was like, no, I don't do those anymore.
Yeah, yeah,
I was like, no,
that.
I'm not. But it was the thing was like, because that's all there was on Long Island. So it was like I had to fucking sit through music, like bad music or poetry or all that other shit, and then like talk like tell jokes to people who obviously very much did not want to hear comedy.
That's one thing I wonder. How come none of the late night shows, how come they don't have like a spoken word set where, you know, for 5 minutes somebody comes up and, you know, laces the crowd with spoken word.
I think because people, they already have such a big drop off in ratings when comedy starts. And they're like, all right, but what if this wasn't funny? Yeah,
yeah. I always thought it was very funny if they had an improv team do a set. We're like, oh, we need a suggestion. And people are like, do they want to talk?
Oh, man.
That'd be fun.
Those late night sets, man. I love reading those comments because people become comedy experts. Right?
Oh, immediately, so, yeah.
And they always say the same thing. You know, I see where they were trying to go, but the timing.
Right, yeah.
I don't know what non-comedians' obsession is with timing, but it literally has nothing to do with comedy to me now. Like telling jokes and this whole timing thing, it's way over. Yeah, you can say anything as long as you're timing.
Yeah, it's like,
get
no.
the fuck out of here.
I think it's what most people. I think that because they know that the rule of comedy, like the key of comedy, is timing. So it's like, oh, that's a term I know now. So if I say that, it seems like I'm an expert.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's some like armchair quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like how I say algorithm a lot. I don't know what the fuck it is.
I don't know the algorithm.
Math that makes me sad. I don't know.
It's what I can blame when my tweets don't do well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Algorithm. It's not peak timing, mm-hmm. which I know when it is. I know when peak timing is.
Mm-hmm. Is it 69 o'clock?
69 o'clock.
Amen, baby.
That's my peak.
That's when I peak. How are you doing? So what the fuck else is up? I don't know.
You want to do some questions?
Let's do some questions. All
right.
We get questions.
Y'all do questions?
Yeah, we get questions from viewers or listeners. Now viewers.
While
we're doing that, while Mike pulls up questions, could people? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all do ask people questions. Yeah, I remember that.
What? Where could people look and listen to you and do all the stuff
on Instagram at RufatCamp. So mm-hmm. RUFAT camp, RU Fat Camp. And that's Instagram and Twitter.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, it's a little nickname this guy that owned a skate shop gave me.
That's fine.
Big ups to Orly. Yeah. So that, I mean, I guess you could look for me on YouTube. I got a couple of little 6-minute sets that I sent out to festivals.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
I got a sketch or two on YouTube that I'm proud of.
You had that one with the guy that plays the flute.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look up the one where the guy plays the flute.
There you go. Type in flute comedy.
Yeah.
And your monthly show is at June Bar every...
At June Bar. It's called Paradise Comedy. And I think I'm bringing back a show that I used to do about a year ago with Kid Super. So I might be bringing that show back. So people look out for that. It'll be on
it's a video game
at
show
the Canal Street.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Tight.
I've been to Canal Street.
At Micah Brucey on all things.
Yeah, I can say it.
But I like to say your name.
I'm at Micah Brucey on all things. And that's it.
And then this Diego Lopez at all things. Please check out brainmachinenetwork.com for podcasts information and pictures of the people that record here.
Also, there's a whole bunch of new podcasts, so check those out.
Yeah. I would say listen
to ours again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen to that episode with Courtney Farrington. That's a great episode.
What did Courtney talk about?
Oh, we talked about our dicks a lot on that episode, actually.
Fucking our dicks. Yeah? Oh, yeah.
Not being able to get hard, and then...
That's the homie.
Courtney's the best.
He's a Marine, and I always mess up in front of him. Like, I always spill, like, cheese on myself. I just am never coordinated around him.
Like, he's telling you to tuck your shirt in?
Yeah. I'm always very nervous around
him. All right, let's go.
Okay, questions. You want to go heavy or light first?
Let's go heavy first.
Heavy first? All right. This came in today, I think. Should I go visit my sister in jail with my parents during Christmas, or should I try to go on my own a different time? In scenario A, there is a network of emotional support, but there's a lot of pressure to be serious. In scenario two, well, A and two are not the same.
It isn't my brain. I'm dyslexic.
In scenario two, or B, we can be a little closer to the true nature of our sillier and more chummy, there's a lot of words missing in this, sillier, more chummy relationship, I guess it would be.
Yeah.
But any emotional brunt is mine to bear alone.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's a heavy one.
Just do both, yo.
I don't think you want to do two trips to the prison. I'm trying to think of, like, my siblings and, like, what I'd prefer. I think, like, if let's say my brother was in prison, I think I'd rather go see him alone. Even though it's harder, we can be more honest to each other about what's going on and how we feel. Mm. I'd rather get that than the kind of feel like we're being fake, and not even fake, but like holding up airs to make our parents happy, which I do not support.
Making your parents happy?
No.
Yeah, I think that's the thing where it's like, I think I've kind of turned the corner with my parents in a way that it's like, oh, we're just both adults now. Mm-hmm. That's our relationship now. I talk to you, we're both, I'm a 30-year-old man, you're a fucking 69-year-old person, because that's the only age of Heron is now. We're all 69. but it's like, I think it's a thing where it's like, see, that's the thing where it's like, I don't know what their relationship is like with their parents, 100%.
Sure.
So it's like, I feel like I would just go and be myself. I'd go with my parents.
Right.
And just be myself. And be like, listen, fucking deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
This is I'm here to see my sister, and I want to make it the best experience for her and for me. So it's a thing where it's like, you can either be like, go with your parents, and I would either say go with your parents and just be you 100%, and just be like, fuck off.
Yeah, keep it 100.
Yeah, or go by yourself. To have, and it sucks.
I just like that they gave us the caveat of they can't be themselves. Yeah. There's probably a reason.
I know, but I think B is the better choice to go by yourself. But I think maybe you should set up like an emotional support system before you leave for the trip.
Mm.
Have a couple friends be like, "Yo, I'm gonna go do this thing, and it's probably gonna be fucking real rough for me."
Right.
So
that's smart.
I don't like, it's not a requirement, but could you, maybe I'll hit you with a text, be like, I'm going now, and I'll hit you in an hour or however long I'm allowed to go see her, and can we talk after that?
Mm.
And just like, yeah, I think that is good, a good thing to have, to just be like, it's nice to have someone you can just be like, oh, I was there. Even if you don't have anything to, even if it was a fine trip, like a fine visit, mm-hmm. just to be like, that was heavy. That was heavy for me. That was rough.
I would probably go by myself because you could check somebody, you know, a lot easier when you're one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the John Gotti prison tapes, and he was saying some wild shit in prison, and none of the family checked him, you know what I mean? Because it's all like you're sitting at his feet as a family.
Yeah. Oh.
Where it's like you're scared to voice. I feel like you're scared to be more confident around other people, whereas like if you're alone, you could just be like, that's a dumb fucking idea, John Gotti.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know why you're saying that about black people.
yeah,
he said a lot of racist shit.
Well, yeah, as is their way.
Well,
it
was perfect.
I mean, do you and I live in a glass home also?
But I'm sorry. I'm sorry that's happening to you, and I wish you the best. And bring Fritos and what's the other thing they like? Cup of noodles.
A knife. No, I think you just got to give money.
No, man, I bring my own. It's cheaper if I just bring my own.
I know what it is.
You
got to put money on the books.
I know.
Right? That's commissary, right?
Yeah.
There's a coffee shop off of my train stop in Long Island City that I get off for work that's called Commissary.
Oh.
And it's very weird.
Yeah.
Like, hey, pardon me. You guys know what that means, right?
Yeah. Oh, there's also a spot. There's also not a spot, but like a company I've seen, like the bags.
Uh-huh.
It's called Jailhouse Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like hands opening up bars, and not once on the package is any of it like, we give 10% this charity that gives books. They're like, nah, we are felon level coffee.
We are funded by the Nazis.
Yeah. It's just some shit where I'm like, you're not even gonna you can just say proceeds go to, and it can be 1%.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Date rape.
Get on your shit, Jailhouse.
Yeah. I'm about to go straight up. If you drink Jailhouse coffee or if you work there, find me.
Yeah.
I'll snuff you.
Double.
I'm telling you right now, I'll fuck up anybody in that company.
Yeah.
Double shot, drop the soap express.
Yeah, it's just so brutal.
Yeah, it's like, Jesus.
I actually have some ideas for some funny names, Jailhouse. Hit me up.
Yeah. You got some different blends you want to name?
Yeah. Turn your pockets inside out, Americana.
That's great.
Oh, yeah. Man.
What's another question?
Let's go to prison.
Some scared straight ass coffee.
Yeah.
Bikes.
All right. This one feels like. It was just, I feel like the question is just for Diego, but I feel like I'm here. Rufat's here. We can answer.
Mm-hmm. I hope it's a sex question. It's, man.
Will you fuck me?
Yes. No. Next question and address.
No, it's I'm 46. Thank you for listening to our podcast and being 46. That feels crazy to me. Mm-hmm. I'm 46 and have been practicing jiu-jitsu for almost 2 years.
Nice.
Shushitsu.
Jiu-jitsu.
I feel lately that I've been slowing the young bulls down in class. There is just one that I don't like rolling with because he gets easily frustrated with me. I feel I'm pretty good for my age and experience. Others find me fun and easy to roll with. Am I being too hard on myself, letting a few guys get in my head? Yes, usually I'm the only girl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So that's the end of the question.
Who's it from?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Oh, I know who it's from. Harper. Melissa Harper. Yeah, she listens to the MMA podcast I do. She's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So I would say that's awesome. You're doing jiu-jitsu 2 years. You're 46. That's fucking rad.
Yeah.
You paid your money. You don't owe them anything. You're not slowing down anyone. That's not how it works. If you're rolling with someone who you don't enjoy rolling with, I would say at this point 2 years in, learn to be in that emotional environment and still be able to do the job you need to do. If you're working on sweeps, be able to do that while you're frustrated. If you're working on a submission setup, be able to go down the list of techniques necessary while you're in a different emotional state, because if someone's going to put you in that state sooner or later, so don't be an alien to it. But once you can handle that emotional state, feel free to say no to people, and you don't have to roll with anybody.
Yeah, is it improper to say that I don't want to roll with this person?
Depends on your school. Most 95% of the time, it's okay to say no to anybody and be like, I don't want to roll with you.
Yeah,
there's people that I've rolled with who I'm too stubborn to say no to, and I have injuries now forever because of it.
Yeah.
I have a bad shoulder because of a specific person who is a dick, and I knew they're a dick going into the role. And it's my own bullheadedness that's given that's
that you were like, I won't let you.
I'm not letting you beat me in this idea. I will quit before. Stupid. Yeah. You don't need
that. And that's not even their intent. Exactly. It's just the way just that they are.
You can. A role is just an exchange of information. It's us communicating.
I've always said that.
I know you have.
I've always said that person.
If you can get any information out of a partner, that is success. So, yeah, let's say you roll with some fucking 16-year-old boy who's just dead set on being an MMA fighter.
That's my favorite part of jiu-jitsu, is that you're allowed to roll with a 16-year-old boy.
I agree.
Juicy. No. Unplucked chicken of a 16-year-old boy.
Oh, boy.
That's what I'm talking about.
Let's say passes your guard easily and gets to mount, fine. Were you able to understand?
Gets to mount?
Mount. Yeah. When they're sitting on top of you.
If
you're able to figure out.
Yeah, let that boy mount me.
If every time it happens, you're able to figure out or clarify why it's happening, you're gaining information. You're getting something out of it, even if you're not tapping them. That's the goal. Just constantly gaining information. So don't let other people in the gym feel like you're slowing them down. That's not what this is about. It's your own journey to get better and enjoy that time on the mats. Was there a last part of the question that I'm missing?
No, she just clarified at the end that she was the only girl there.
Yeah, which is, happens. It's jiu-jitsu. Unfortunately, it's the most beneficial for women, and it's so awkward because you're so intimate with a person that a lot of women don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I totally get that.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's for the weaker person. This is for the weaker person, and it's a lot of times just a lot of guys doing it because it's I get it.
All right, now I have some advice.
Oh, please, I want to hear.
Yeah. Okay, so if you don't beat this man to a pulp, you are a coward, and I think that's the whole thing. And yeah, you're 46, so you're way past your prime as a person, but especially as a woman.
No, I don't know why, but I love this side of you.
Yeah, I know. It's fun, right? It's fun. Because I've been holding it in for 7 years. And probably more. No, I think that – I just think that you – I don't think you have to prove it to anyone else, but you have to prove to yourself why you're there, I think is the thing. Where you're like, it's the thing where you're like, yeah, this fucking guy is ruining my time.
Mm.
So if you're like, I think it's the thing where it's like, if you're learning nothing from interacting with him, I think you should just be able to be like, yeah, I don't want to roll with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just, let's fucking break up right now. You fucking dump him. But also, maybe think about getting into knitting or pottery. Or take a cooking class, or maybe you can become a doula.
All right, that's the advice from Mike, who's taken three of my classes.
I'd say, okay, listen, but if you think about it, I'm kind of a black belt.
Not
because
at all.
I live with you.
And I'm not a black belt.
But because of your experience, plus my experience
of knives,
I'm more experienced than you, if you think about it.
True.
Because of my experience and your experience together.
It's weird how your experience doesn't help me at all, though.
Not even a little. Say it actually takes away. So maybe you're back down to purple belt.
Cool.
And then I take yours, and I go up double black belt.
Congratulations.
Double black belt.
Professor.
Thank you so much. I wear them like fucking bullet belts across.
Ballerinos? What are they called?
Bandoleros.
Sorry. Rufo, what was your advice for
Look, this isn't... I know you got the visuals up now, but I am the 16-year-old boy you were talking about. My body, my frame.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not... I am a red and black belt in taekwondo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Karate for kids. That's what I took.
I think karate is karate for kids. Taekwondo is actually like useful.
As a small man.
No, I'm thinking of judo. Sorry.
I'm always thinking a couple of steps ahead. I'm always looking at objects that I can hit people with inside of the room. So I would pre-plan. These people that you don't like rolling with, set up a time. That day, take an aspirin, drink some beer. Now you want to cut the top vein of your forehead. and bleed out during the roll and really fuck with their head. You know what I mean?
Really. Oh my God, what did I do?
Really fuck with their head.
You're going to want to take it from professional wrestling. You're going to want to put a layer of tape around your
wrist. Yeah.
And then you're going to want to cut down a razor blade until it's the thinnest.
Triangle, yeah.
Yes.
Even you can make it just a little strip and tape the middle of it so you have something to hold on to. And then put that on top of your taped part of your wrist and then put another piece of tape over that.
Yes.
So you can easily pull it off. Slice yourself,
mm-hmm.
and now you're bloody.
And just roll like that.
Yeah, and like, really prove them.
No, God, you're like, no, I'm going to prove to a child.
And, yeah, the thing is that you put child into there.
Yep,
you made it child. I think she said young bucks, which makes it feel like they got fucking big rock hard cocks. But yeah, I think I agree with Rufat. You're gonna want to bleed out. You're gonna bleed out all over the.
Bleed on this cuck,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
All over the mats. And just fuck, yeah, really prove a point. And if you can, because you're a woman, also bleed out of your pussy.
And I think that's what karate is about. It's not about defeating a person.
No.
It's about proving a point. That's probably the highest form.
Oh, man. Break a brick to prove a point.
What was the point?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I can't.
Fuck you, Karen, is the point.
I'm better off without you.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I sleep on. I just stack up all the mats at the end of the night at the jujitsu. But he said I fucking sleep on top of them like a Princess and the Pea situation.
Oh, my God. Well, this is a little time podcast.
Yeah, this is great.
Thank you for listening. Rufa, thank you so much for
doing
this.
Thank you,
thank you Leif. Thank you.
Well, let's not thank Leif.
I already said it.
Thank
you for the Pringles.
I would like to not thank Leif, personally.
And I hope you watch this. And
you might see it, you might not. Yeah. I would love if you fucking just...
If you jerk off to us or whatever female jerking off is, Venmo us $1
yeah,
each.
If you rub off... to us, give me money.
That's my favorite idea of a woman masturbating her pussy to the image of us doing a podcast.
See, the thing is, I think a lot of women have masturbated to me, but not in the way that you would think. In a way they go like, anyone but Mike. And then they fucking rub off. They fucking rub off.
They think about you in a way.
In a way.
In a way, yeah.
But, yeah,
well, thank
yeah,
you
yeah.
so much for listening.
Thank you so much.
Masturbate to us.
We
God
love
bless.
You. All right, goodbye. Bye.
Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com.